And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We do have challenges with racial bias in our communities, in our criminal justice system, in our society, the legacy of slavery and segregation. But the fact that we have open debates within America's own democracy is what allows us to get better. In 1959, the year that my father moved to America, it was illegal for him to marry my mother, who was white, in many American states.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, today is, mark it on your calendars, the 22nd of March, 2016. We are living through a new low point in American presidential history. I open the show with the sound of a baby crying. God knows the injuries that child incurred, or her mother, or her father, or what she's going to have in her mind for the rest of her life, that the Muslims, the Islamo-fascist vermin, the garbage of the human race, did this to the Belgian people. And we have a subversive in the White House who's in a communist dictatorship lecturing Cuba on how evil America was and still is. It is a new low point in American presidential history. And yet I doubt that many people are listening can even understand what's going on. Another terror attack, another one. And the doofus in the White House, he really isn't that stupid, is he? Shall I call him the subversive? Because it's the only word that works. In my day, Barack Obama could not have even been a cop because of his associations, let alone a Secret Service agent. He never would have passed the test to guard himself. He never could have been an FBI agent because he was a subversive. He is a subversive, and he is subverting everything decent about America. Now, I know these sound like really off the wagon words. I recognize that it's offensive to the progressives out there who would rather die and fall on a terrorist bomb than ever admit that their socialist policies are what caused the terrorist bombs to go off. Because you see, liberalism is a mental disorder. And if we continue to let the liberals run the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, well, you name it, the Justice Department, Department of Homeland Security, it's inevitable that we are going to have one, if not many, many more terrorist attacks before this subversive leaves the White House. And I want to ask you today, I'm not going to ask you anything. I will ask you one question. How would you prevent the next terror attack from occurring? I know the first thing that went through my mind when I saw the people bloodied and in pieces, bloody faces, nail bombs from the practitioners of a religion. That is a religion to you? Islam is a religion? When its holy book tells them to kill the infidel, please don't tell me that they're not Muslims. Please don't tell me that your brains are so warped that you can't put two and two together. Who took credit for this terror attack in Belgium? Was it Israel? No, not Israel. Was it the Buddhist Organization of America? Certainly not the Buddhist Organization. Why, it was ISIS, the Islamic State, that did it. And notice the first word, Islamic State, that did it. And yet we have a subversive in the White House who continues talking about Jackie Robinson and segregation, won't come back and take control of the country. Instead, he stays there to put down the nation. Well, I ask you what you think needs to be done, because the first thing that came to my mind was logical. If the bombings and the terror and the attacks keep coming from a certain community, then you monitor that community and you stop them from attacking by preventively detaining those who are on watch lists. Now, I know this is anathema to the psychopathic liberals at the ACLU, the New York Civil Liberties Union, and the other suicidal organizations that are killing all of us. They're killing us on every front. But it will happen as sure as I'm sitting here. Maybe I'm a little ahead of the curve. I've been ahead of the curve for a while now. But it will happen as sure as I'm sitting here. There will be an awareness finally, and eventually they will be preventively detained, and this will not stop. This will stop. This will stop. We learned today that in Belgium, for example, the so-called security service has had 300 young, Muslim men of military age, of the type that Obama and Hillary want to bring in here, the type that Bernie Sanders would like to have for dinner, they're on watch lists. Why were they not in jail? Why were they not preventively detained? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what I am saying to you today on the Savage Nation? Well, I said to myself, this is going to be one of the most challenging days of my radio career. This is another 9/11. But I spoke to a few people today. They didn't even know what happened. Not bad people. One guy was working in a house painting walls. He didn't have a radio on. He didn't know anything about it. And when he gets the news tonight, why, it'll be local San Francisco news. It'll be in passing that a bomb went off somewhere. It was from spontaneous combustion. It was a bunch of paint rags left in a railroad station or under the American Airlines counter. Don't tie it to Islam. Don't tie it to Muslims, because then you'll be, well, you might be a Trump supporter. You'll certainly be a bigot. Certainly you'll violate the protocols of the elders of liberalism. There's no question about that. Because as you well know, the protocols of the elders of liberalism are such that you must die for your beliefs. We're not leading in this war. We're not even in it. The subversive in the White House, after being paraded around in Cuba yesterday as a puppet by the communist mafia dictators Castro, took the stage today for a speech, and the only words that the puppet could muster were, quote, "Our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Belgium." Another terror attack by Muslims on his watch, and he has nothing else to say. He then proceeded to bloviate about the shared relationship between the hellhole prison of Cuba and the United States of America. And then he said that both nations were built by slaves, if you can believe this. But who listens to this man anymore? Even his supporters are cringing at the obvious disconnection from reality. A real leader would have been on a plane back home and reaching out to our European allies, formulating an immediate war plan, to carpet bomb the enemy in a stronghold in Raqqa. Because they do have a capital, you know. I remember when this all started a number of years ago when I was on the radio, people would say, well, you can't bomb them. They don't have any location. They're kind of individual cells. Each one of them can do it. There's nowhere to bomb. Well, there is somewhere to bomb now. It's called Raqqa. That's where they live. That's where they plot. That's their capital of the world. But our dear leader is only interested in propping up our enemies and putting down our allies and completely ignoring the real problems that have emerged in the Islamic world over the last 1,400 years. These problems have metastasized on his watch, and in many cases with his help. And he gets away with it, not because you and I and the other conscious people of America let him get away with it, but because of the weaklings and quislings that we put into office who let him get away with it, and I'm talking about the Republicans in particular. I have no faith whatsoever in the Charles Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's. Do you? No, we wrote them off a long time ago. We know who they are. They're a bunch of, well, what they are, what they are. But you thought a few Republicans would have stood up to this maniac, but they didn't. Both Republican and Democrat leaders, rank-and-file members of the government in CIA, FBI, DHS, NSA, refused to stand up to this Führer who holds the most powerful office in the world. Why, they're only following orders. Oh, I know there are brave men and women in these intelligence agencies who know what must be done. And they know who the bad guys are down to a 99th percentile because they're watching them, but they can't touch them. And the reason they can't touch them is because they're only following orders. Remember we heard about that in World War II? When we said all Germans were guilty of the Holocaust? Do you remember that? And then when they were put on trial after the war, some of them said, well, I knew it was bad to torture people and kill them in gas chambers, but I was only following orders. If I didn't follow orders, I would have lost my job, or I would have gone to prison. Well, I'm speaking directly to those of you in the DHS, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, any other department who is being paid to protect us, to step out of line and be disruptors and not just follow orders from the Führer. I hope I've reached you because you're the audience for today. The average person has no power. You have all the power. You, the government employees and the intelligence services, are who this entire show is directed at. Because if there's another attack, The blood will be on your hands. Don't tell me you're afraid of losing your job. I could care less about your job. Don't tell me you're afraid of being demoted. I don't care about your job and demotion. I care about you doing your job. You're being paid trillions of dollars a year. And what are you doing for it? Well, I'll let you tell us what you're doing for it. You're the ones letting this disease to fester in the United States of America. The ACLU, by the way, is the most dangerous subversive organization in America. If and when Donald Trump becomes president, and if and when Donald Trump asks me to give him any advice, one of the first things I would do would be to order a congressional investigation into the ACLU. And if they are found to be a subversive organization, seize all of their assets and go further than that. But I'll pause at this time. And the reason I mention the ACLU and all of the starry-eyed crazy liberals who run the ACLU is for a very specific reason. The New York Police Department had until quite recently one of the most, I would say, intelligent and constructive methods of stopping a terrorist attack in the world. They had put out a report that was 80 pages long on how to watch the Muslim communities around America, but especially in New York, and to see who might be radicalized and to nip them in the bud before they set off a bomb. Well, the rotten, stinking, subversive, anti-American, probably supported by ISIS, ACLU, yes, you heard me, the money is probably flowing from ISIS, being washed through three or four hands, Saudi Arabian princes, Bahrain businessmen, going into the hands of the communists in America. They sued the NYPD, and a little girl with a law degree, probably from NYU, forced the NYPD to expunge this brilliant program on how to prevent the terrorist attack from their records. They could no longer even publish it. But I have very good news for you. I have it. I captured it before they expunged it. And I will release this at the right time. It's the most brilliant methods I've ever seen to stop the next terrorist attack. But I don't want to lose my main point. This document should be in the hands of every police department in America, but it is not, because a few subversive lawyers successfully shopped it to subversive judges in New York City who subverted the NYPD from stopping the next terrorist attack. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Today is a low point in American presidential history, and I'm asking you how you would prevent the next terror attack from occurring. Obama said nothing about the source of the terror, did he? Did he say where it came from? Did he say Islamofascism? No. As you well know, he may as well have said it was paint rags that went off on spontaneous combustion. So we know that he is a subversive. We also know he's a fellow traveler of many dangerous currents in this country. But I want to tell you right now, we can't let him get away with it anymore. He is not our leader. He is in Cuba propping up a dictator, a big dictatorship, while people who tried to fight for freedom in that country are rotting in Cuban prisons. No one's listening to Obama. They're laughing at him behind his back. The Castros are not stupid. They took over a nation. They used the guise of Animal Farm to tell everyone in Cuba that things would be better when they had a revolution. There would no longer be corruption of the type that they saw under Batista. And guess what happened? The corruption became even worse, as it always does under communism. And now it is a prison island run by two mafioso, Raul and Fidel Castro, who have taken all the money, all the power, all the women, all the glory, all the gold right to the top. And the Cuban people are those suffering. And you would think the president would say one word about that. He wouldn't even be there if he was a legitimate president, would he? No, my friends, he wouldn't be there. And that's why we need a new leader in the United States of America. Later on, we're going to have a possible new president on this show. He will be on this show in the third hour. And I will ask him a very specific question about what he would do to stop the next Muslim-generated mayhem, bloodshed, nail bombs, babies' faces flying off from occurring in the United States of America. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
The thoughts and the prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium. And we stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people.
Not naming who did
it. We will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally, Belgium.
Turn it off. I can't listen to the subversive. Now, if you want to see liberalism, the mental disorder in action, I invite you to go to Salon.com, where I'll read you a few statements written by one of the girly writers who write for them. And she says, we need adult leaders. Brussels attack is a sobering reminder of how important it is to have grown-ups in office, not Cruz or Trump. The Brussels attack, she writes, the girl, drives home how critical it is to have adults like Clinton or Sanders in charge. Now listen to this insanity, and you'll come to understand why we're all in danger. He says, no doubt whatever President Obama does will come under scrutiny. But we can rest assured that whatever it is, it will be a considered decision, informed by good faith assessments of intelligence, and rooted in an understanding that these situations are far too complex to be dumbed down to a bunch of bigotry towards Muslims, the vast majority of whom have no relationship to terrorism. She goes on. She says, it's clear that we should only have Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Both will assuredly approach the ongoing and complicated problem of international terrorism in the same spirit that Obama does, as adults who make decisions based on information and who both understand that the ISIS situation requires a military response, but who show no interest in exploiting these situations in order to start adventure wars or push bigoted opinions about immigrants. Liberalism, my friends, is a mental disorder. So you have a choice in your life. Either you become a bigot in their mind, or you'll be injured or killed by a radical Islamist. You could have a choice. You could be a living, free-spirited liberal, who eventually gets killed by a bomb, or God forbid a dirty bomb, or you could be a bigot and join those in the military and in the police services who know that, quote, bigotry, quote, bigotry, is the only thing that could save this country. Because the bombers are the biggest bigots on the planet.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My message to the Cuban government and the Cuban people. The ideals that are the starting point for every revolution, America's revolution, Cuba's revolution, the liberation movements around the world, those ideals find their truest expression, I believe, in democracy. Not because American democracy is perfect, but precisely because we're not. And we, like every country, need the space that democracy gives us to change.
Oh my God.
It gives individuals the capacity to be catalysts, to think in new ways, and to reimagine how our society should be.
You know, I would say this is a new low point in American presidential history, but listening to this speech, I know that we have I know what we have in the White House. I got to stop trying to redefine him. He is what he is. He's a subversive. He's not that smart. He is not that smart. He's very clever. He's very cunning. But he truly lacks intelligence to give a speech like this in Cuba. Because what he's exhibiting is classic liberalism of the type that believes that if you speak to dictators about the wonders of freedom, they will grant freedom to their people. When history, every lesson in history indicates that has never happened. He thinks that these two powerful mafioso who run Cuba are going to let go of the reins of power and give up all the money, all the riches, and all the women that they have because this doofus comes over from America and acts like a PR agent for them. They're laughing at him behind his back. They're saying, my God, this guy is more naive than I can believe. But on the same day this is happening, there are people dead and dying in Belgium. And once again, Islam is behind it. Because Islam itself happens to be a doctrine of conquest. I know you've been told Islam means peace. It does not mean peace. Islam means submission. And I also know that most Muslims are not violent. I know all of these things. But it does not take the majority of a particular following to do the terrible things that we see going on around the world. So you say, well, what are you going to do about it? You got a billion people on the planet who identify with this religion. And let's say only 1% of them are violent jihadists. So do the math. What's 1% of a billion people? You can do that. 10% of a billion would be what? 100 million? 1% would be 10 million? That's probably too high. 0.1% would be a million. So there's 1 million. If it's only 0.1% who are reading the Quran and taking it literally, that means that 0.1% of the people who are reading the Quran and taking it literally would kill you and blow your children up. You know, they released a statement, these animals. Well, sorry, I don't want to call them animals because I'm an animal rights activist. These subhumans, I would say that since they have removed themselves from the human family by blowing up nail bombs in an airport, killing men, women, and children, ripping them to shreds in the most painful manner possible, I wouldn't call them animals and I wouldn't even call them humans. They're not members of the human family. In that sense, then, the phrase subhuman works because they have fallen below the level of a human family. These subhumans are getting their idea that it's okay to kill people who are not Muslims, and not fanatical Muslims at that. And they're getting this idea from where? Where are they getting it from? Tell me where they're getting it from. For the sake of discussion, all you good progressives out there who call Trump a bigot, tell me where they're getting this idea from. You can't even answer that question. They're getting it from their holy book itself. That's the problem. Unless Islam goes through a reformation, this war will never come to an end. And I see no movements to reform Islam, because the people who would like to reform Islam, and there are some, notably Muslim women, educated Muslim women, who are proud to be Muslims, but very, very unproud to be a member of a religion that kills people for no reason other than they're not practitioners of the most extremist form of that particular religion. These women are trying to reform Islam, and when they do, they are either killed or driven out of their countries of origin. You follow what I'm saying to you? So what's the answer? You're going to take the liberal approach that we got bombed because we deserved it? ISIS took responsibility. I blame Merkel for the latest wave of terror attacks. Why Merkel? She opened the borders of Europe to Muslim males of military age. We told you this would happen. Oh, Trump said that he wants to stop all Muslim immigration until, quote, we can figure this thing out. When he's on this show later on, I'm going to ask him a little bit about that, but in a little more detail, because I think we need more than just closing the borders to Muslims from foreign countries. I think we need to act now, right now, on the Muslims who are already here. That's right, you heard me. Now, does that sound radical to you? Then how do you explain, hold on now, how do you explain, all you Salon readers, that in socialist liberal France, Hollande has closed down at least 20 mosques known to be preaching jihad and murder? How come he was able to do it in socialist France? Does that make Hollande the socialist now a bigot? Or someone who cares about defending the French people? Think about it, you fools. There's only a limit to how far you can take your softness. Eventually your softness becomes insanity. How can liberals not understand the danger their philosophy is putting them and the whole nation in? How can they not understand it? 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. ISIS took responsibility. That's the Islamic State did this. Nail bombs. Did you know that they first sprayed with machine gun fire inside the terminal? Did you know they first opened up with machine guns? How did these Muslims get machine guns? How did they get the material necessary to make these bombs when you had all of these intelligence services in Europe saying that they could find them before they did it? I blame Merkel. I blame ham-headed communist Merkel. Merkel did it. Merkel did it. And those who follow the death cult certainly pulled the trigger. The three suicide bombers looked like young men of Middle Eastern heritage. Do you think that they were Muslim immigrants from the Middle East, or Mormons, or Swedes? Why don't you stop with your political insanity and stop being called a bigot or a racist xenophobe? I think you ought to say with a smile, call me what you want, but I want to live, fool. And there's only one solution to this problem. Well, there's many solutions, but there's one immediate solution to those in this country who are plotting the same exact events in this country. And that is to preventively detain them before they set off a bomb and to profile by sex, race, ethnicity, and religion. This has to be stopped. This must be stopped. Later on, Donald Trump will be on the program, as I said. And I have specific questions for Donald Trump based on the bombings in Brussels by the Islamofascists. He gave a wonderful speech this morning on the Today Show, but they didn't ask him the most obvious question that I'm going to ask him. And I hope you'll be here to catch this. Joseph on WMAL, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I am a liberal, but I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent liberal. I did not vote for Obama. I recognized early on that he is a stooge, a dupe, a corporatist, and he was not interested in doing what was right for this country. And I agree with you. Islam is a destructive religion. It was created in the 7th, 8th century, and it was done in such a way that they threatened to kill anyone who did not adopt their religion because most of the people were off far away fighting other wars. And doing that shows you what kind of a religion Islam is. With all respect to people who practice it, it is not a religion founded on peace. It's a religion founded on pushing people around, and if they don't come around, you kill them. So I'm going to vote for Donald Trump.
All right, you made your statement. The man actually studied history. He's a liberal, but he knows his history. He also is a liberal who wants to live. That means he's probably a social liberal. By the way, there's a big distinction. We've heard fiscal conservative, but you're probably never really focused on those who are social liberals, but quite militaristic when it comes to defending their lives. Good for them. They understand that. The clock is just racing away. This is not an easy day to be on the radio. It's hard to understand how people cannot understand the danger they are in as a result of Bill de Blasio and Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. They're putting us all in danger. And by the way, I open the show with the sound of a little baby crying whose mother or father or the baby itself had been hit by a nail bomb in Belgium. It was heartbreaking to listen to this. And then we listen to the subversive president in Cuba being a puppet stooge of the communist dictatorship. Plenty for you to comment on right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
It's always a challenge when you have a terrorist attack anywhere in the world, particularly in this age of 24/7 news coverage. You want to be respectful and understand the gravity of the situation. But the whole premise of terrorism is to try to disrupt people's ordinary lives.
Can you believe that this subversive would make this statement just moments ago to justify why this bum doesn't want to leave Cuba and come back and take control of the intelligence services? Can you believe this bum would give such a lame excuse? It's beyond comprehension, isn't it? But not to me. It's not beyond comprehension to me. I know who he is. I've written about it for years. I've talked about him for years. This is a new low point in American presidential history that I don't know how to put it. I don't think that those who support him will even see the embarrassment of this bum. But those of us who do, I guess the country is so divided, it's either you see him for what he is, the subversive bum that he is, or you see him for what he isn't. And you think that with your rose-colored glasses, you're going to change the minds and hearts of those who would like to harm you. I guess it's as simple as that. All right, my friends, you just heard it live from Cuba. Instead of flying home immediately, he didn't want to leave the baseball game. He was having too good a time. The wife and the girls had a nice vacation, spring break, took the girls to Cuba. And he's in a nice baseball game. He's comfortable. Surrounded by 50,000 cheering stooges, handpicked by the dictatorship to cheer him as he came into the stadium. And he doesn't want to leave. Why would he want to go home to trouble? Would you want to leave a vacation if you didn't have to? It's nice when there are no consequences. By the way, are there any laws on the books where he could be stopped when he enters the country and turn back to Cuba? Are there any laws on the books that would prohibit him from returning to America? for having engaged in promoting communism and aiding and abetting terrorists and terrorism and prohibit him from entering the country? Or on the other hand, could he be arrested when he returns to America? I'm joking. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? The Muslims walk around Europe with impunity. I, Michael Savage, am banned from entering Britain. I want you to think about insanity. Please listen to bigotry and insanity. The liberals who run England banned me from entering Britain for saying things along the lines of what I'm saying today in 2008. And yet they let Muslims come in who blow them up, and they won't stop them. Today, Ted Cruz gave a good speech. He said, police should patrol Muslim neighborhoods. Good for him. Trump gave a good speech. Good for him. But until we have a president who identifies the Islamo-fascist enemy, until they're willing to use all investigative tools, including social media, until they're willing to take out their infrastructure in their homeland by carpet bombing them with air power around the clock until there's nothing moving in Raqqa, killing everything that moves in Raqqa, taking out their command and control, communications, transportation, oil fields. Remember the days of Bush, of shock and awe? That was nothing. That's baby play compared to what needs to be done. Why are their financial networks not been disrupted? Why are their money-making industries, why are they still making money? Why is Obama refusing to arm the Kurds to help take out the ISIS murderers? Well, my friends, if I read to you the restrictive rules of engagement, you'll get sick to your stomach. If you listen to what the average combat soldier or Marine has to do before he can fire a gun, you will get sick, and you'll know why so many of them come back with PTSD. It's not so much from what they see or what they do in these combat zones. It's what they see and cannot do that causes this post-traumatic stress disorder. Do you have any idea what Obama has done to them? He has taken these sick rules of engagement that Bush put in place, which were bad enough. There are Marines right now suffering in prison here in this country. They're prisoners of conscience. They're rotting in Fort Leavenworth for having killed the enemy before getting killed. I defended several of them by sending them money and raising money for them. But there are many more rotting in prisons right now. But those rules of engagement put in by the evil Bush administration have gotten even worse under the subversive Obama administration. You know, I see articles on these stupid sites like AOL and Yahoo written for teenage girls who are just silly kids. They don't know anything. And you see a thing like this about a diet that you thought was safe but is really dangerous. It seemed to be safe, but it was really dangerous. And you should be careful about the diet that you're eating because although it looks healthy, it's actually dangerous. Well, there's no more dangerous mental diet than liberalism because the toxins within this diet are in fact eating you alive and killing you. They spend every day of their life attacking Donald Trump, attacking anyone who will stand up to those who would hurt us. And these poor children read these sites, Yahoo, or the children go on to Instagram and show naked pictures of themselves, thinking that they're wild and free when they're just an embarrassment to the human race because they have no mother. The mothers are no better than they are. You look at an idiot like that actor in New York, Alec Baldwin. He has a daughter who should be in a nunnery for what she's doing to herself. Every other day, Alec Baldwin's daughter posts a naked picture of herself on Instagram. And you, well, how does this happen? Look at the father. The psycho doesn't fall far from the seltzer truck, so to speak. Look at the father. Look what he's made of his life. And I show you an example of Alec Baldwin, not because I know him personally. I hear he's actually a nice guy from people who know him. I could care whether he's nice or not. He is an example of the Hollywood crowd that has weakened and warped and perverted the mind of America. But I want to go back to my main point, dear listeners. How would you prevent the next terror attack from occurring? Today being a low point in American presidential history. And if you want to hear what Donald Trump has to say, stay on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Devil is loose. Welcome to hour number two of The Savage Nation. We are talking, of course, about the latest Islamo-fascist terror attack, this one in Brussels, despite the fact that over 300 Muslim men were under constant surveillance by the impotent, crippled police and intelligence agencies, their hands being tied by the liberals of Europe, by the European Union courts, preventing them from detaining them in advance of the bombing. The bombs still went off, nail bombs at that. After machine gunning an airport terminal, they set off nail bombs which macerated little babies, men, women, children, and the subversive Frankenstein that we have for a president is in Cuba as part of a puppeteer act in order to make a dictatorship look less dictator-like. And people are saying, why don't you come home? What is your priority sitting in a baseball game today, Barry? And so Barry does an interview about an hour ago with ESPN where he addresses that very issue. He was asked while at the stadium in Cuba, after the bombing, people are dead and dying, watching a baseball game, sitting there like a moron, if he considered not attending the game so he could go home and focus on responding to the terrorist attack. Listen to what the subversive president had to say in Cuba.
It's always a challenge when you have a terrorist attack anywhere in the world, particularly in this age of 24/7 news coverage. You want to be respectful and understand the gravity of the situation. But the whole premise of terrorism is to try to disrupt people's ordinary lives.
Isn't that a wonderful rationale for being a bum on vacation? You know, if a child did this, you catch him playing hooky, and you say, look, you have to come back to class now. Something happened. And he says to you, no, you know, I don't want to be disrupted from my vacation. This is what you have here. So we're talking about it, and I've asked you, dear listener, how you would prevent the next terror attack from occurring. Donald Trump will be with us in the next hour. Some of you will catch it, some of you won't. And I have very specific questions for Donald Trump, questions that have not been asked of him yet about how he would protect us as best he could from another Islamo-fascist attack. And I have many people calling on different sides of the issue. Jonathan on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mr. Savage, do you believe that occupying other people's countries generates any type of response at all, or should generate any type of response?
So let me ask, you asked the question, so shut your mouth for 2 seconds. I'm not one of the liberal girls who sit and worship you. How do you explain the fact that your antecedents bombed and stabbed in Spain and France hundreds of years ago while your sand pits were not occupied by them? How do you explain that?
I don't go that far back in history, sir. I'm talking about the present.
Well, so you're an ignoramus. So why do you even call a show? You're not an intelligent man. You're a fool. You don't even know the history of your own violent past?
You're entitled to call me that. And you
don't know anything about the past of Islam? And you're here calling a national show and we're supposed to listen to you? You're blaming the victim now. You're saying the children who got blown up in Brussels deserved it, is what you just said.
Anybody? I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. You wouldn't even let me talk. I mean, you know.
Well, you did talk, but you exhibited an absolute ignorance for the history of Islam.
Okay, sir, all I'm asking you...
Take a walk. Go back to your hellhole where you came from. Do me a favor. All you're asking me. See, this is again, blame the victim. This is the liberal response, by the way. Blame Bush for the war in Iraq. That's as though there was no history of Muslim violence going back 1,400 years. Well, study your history, or else you'll be condemned to repeat it. Read the great Spanish philosopher Santayana, who wrote that. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Well, we're repeating our history because your brains have been washed. Your brains have been completely washed, not only of your own survival, but of history itself. If there's any element of history that is worth reading, it's about survival, how people survive terror. And if you don't know why Muslims are killing again and have been killing repeatedly for 1,400 years, then you will be killed or you'll be converted as sure as I'm sitting here. Because it's going to take men and women in the world to finally say enough is enough. We're not going to be conquered by these barbarians. And so what must be done? Trump said, let's not let any Muslims in until we can figure this thing out. The vermin in the media called him every name under the sun. Every name under the sun, Hitler, Mussolini, bigot. The girls came marching out of Columbia and NYU. They were all offended. All offended. Screaming about bigotry. The little girls need to be protected from themselves, from their foolishness. And now we have a doofus at a baseball game in Cuba saying that, well, the whole premise of terrorism is to try not to disrupt, is to try to disrupt people's lives. You hear a justification like this? Now, again, I want to repeat what I just told that caller. He said, don't you think the occupation of a country has anything to do with terrorism? So I bring up the history of his antecedents. That's if he knows what the word antecedent means. I don't know if he can translate it. And I said, I'll make it clearer, your Muslim ancestors bombed and stabbed in Spain and France. They conquered Spain, incidentally. That's why they called it Andalusia. Then they conquered half of France. That's what they did. They conquered France, right up to Poitiers. And then eventually the French had enough of it. And the men stopped being dilettantes. And they put on the armor that noblemen were supposed to wear. And they led their armies against the Muslims. And they crushed them at Poitiers in the 1500s. And they drove the Muslims back out of the Pyrenees and out of Spain. It was only through a war that the Muslim invasion was stopped completely. And that is exactly why Bush invaded Iraq. He made a mistake. He invaded the wrong country at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. But make no mistake about it. Unless we get a warlike president who was willing to take the war to the enemy, which means carpet bombing Raqqa, as Ted Cruz suggested today, incidentally. Blame him if you don't like it. Ted Cruz said it. He said carpet bomb their capital in Raqqa. Bomb out their infrastructure, command and control, communication, transportation, the oil fields. Disrupt their financial networks. Destroy their industries that make money. Arm the Kurds on the ground to help take out their personnel. Get rid of the restrictive rules of engagement. Let them fight the way a soldier needs to win. Now, I wanted to talk about that for a minute because I studied that in great detail a few years ago. And I will allege again on this program right now that the high level of suicides and PTSD that we see amongst our returning combat veterans. I don't mean the fat liars who sit in the Pentagon. You know, I love our soldier. So everyone wears a uniform as a myth. Oh, hero, look at that, salute him. Oh, they're all heroes sitting there in the Pentagon. No, we're talking about the small percentage of men who go into the front lines, who have the guts to fight these animals. And so these are the rules of engagement that I wrote about, and I didn't make them up. And it was published in the year 2010, God, that's 6 years ago, in my great book, a bestseller at its time, Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security, What You Can Do to Fight Back. And so I wrote a little piece called Ready, Aim, Hold Your Fire. Imagine you voluntarily signed up for active duty in the military because you believe in defending this great country, even if it costs you the ultimate sacrifice, your life. You have friends and family that you leave behind and subject yourself to the rigors of grueling training for weeks on end. You study the strategies of combat. You're trained in the use of the best high-tech weapons on the planet. And then you're deployed to Afghanistan to fight the Taliban. Now imagine you're told the following about your mission. 1. No night or surprise searches. 2. Villagers have to be warned prior to searches. 3. The Afghan National Army or the Afghan National Police must accompany U.S. units on searches. 4. U.S. soldiers may not fire at the enemy unless the enemy is preparing to fire first. Only women can search women. Finally, troops can fire at an insurgent if they catch him placing an improvised explosive device, but not if insurgents are walking away from an area where explosives have been laid. These are actual rules of engagement that were passed through the dodo, George Bush. There's nothing imaginary about those rules of engagement. According to the Washington Times, that is just a partial list of what our brave servicemen actually must do while rooting out the Taliban, the Islamofascists. Is that not madness? And that, my friends, is then. It's gotten worse now. It's gotten much worse now under the subversive who is enjoying a baseball game in Cuba. What would you do if you were an advisor to the president, a real president, not the subversive who's in office now? But let's pray we get a real president, whether it's Cruz or Trump. And one or two of these fine men become president, and they wanted your advice. What would your advice be to stop the next Muslim terrorist attack here on American soil? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
I had a chance to talk to the Belgian Prime Minister early this morning, right after the incident happened. And, you know, this is just one more example of why the entire world has to unite against these terrorists. The notion that any political agenda would justify the killing of innocent people like this is
minimal. Something. You hear, what's really important is the baseball game. It's sports and entertainment. I mean, that's the man, that's what gets this guy going. Take a look at who he invites into the White House. Does he invite intelligent scholars who can tell him the history of Islam's violent past? Never. Does he invite intelligence officials like Frank Gaffney, who knows the history of radical Islam? Never. No. You know the story. So, my friends, if you were in charge, what would you do to stop the next Muslim terror attack on our soil? Now, having said that, I am sure that in that airport, at a train station in Belgium, some Muslims were killed. So I'd like to hear from some moderate Muslims what you would do to root out the radicals in your mosque. Because you know they're there. You can see them. You know they're showing up by the dozens now as a result of Obama's invitations and open door policies. Arthur on WABC, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Anyone related to a terrorist? A citizen should be thrown out of the country. Maybe possibly San Bernardino would not have happened if the sister and mother.
So, in other words, it's sort of an expansion of the Israeli program that if they catch a Palestinian bomber, they blow up his house. They remove the people first and then blow up their house.
Well, that maybe not in this country, but if the mother and sister knew that they were going to be thrown out of the country, citizens were not. They might have alerted the...
Sure, there go the green stamps and the green cards. There goes the Ford Escalade.
Where they came from.
Yeah, you get the no more Ford Escalade, no more government cheese, no more food stamps, no more free girls from the ACLU, no more free medical, no more money being sent back to your terrorist home country. Sure, that's terrible. That's a good idea. What would you do, my friends? KSFO, Julie, welcome to the program. It's a very sad day indeed when we have a subversive like this in the White House who is so lazy that he won't even fly home from Cuba from a baseball game to direct the war against terror. He won't even name the war. First, he wouldn't even call it Islamofascism. Now he won't even lift a finger to fight it. Mr. Limprist. I'm sorry, Julie. It's your time on the air. Go ahead.
No, thank you. I think just there are tens of thousands of intelligence people who operated pre-Bush, that we know who the enemy is. They can be reactivated. I mean, they're out there. They were, you know, we know. We were brought in to do what needed to be done against the enemy, and there's no mistaking who they are.
And well, who are they, Julie? Are you a former intelligence agent?
Yeah.
Okay, who is the enemy? Where are they?
I mean, Iran is certainly the enemy.
No, I don't mean over there. I mean over here. Where does the enemy hide, like the rats that they are? Where do these rats hide in this country as we are speaking? Where are the rats hiding?
Well, they're hiding in the government. I mean, it started with the Bush people who wanted to make the American people the enemy and not the real enemy the enemy.
So you're saying that there are many operatives of Islamofascism inside our government?
There are, absolutely. They're in Congress. They're on intelligence committees. They're all over the place.
And so where does compassionate liberalism end and collaboration begin? That's the question.
It has to be ripped out at the roots.
You know, during World War II, there were justifications for the Nazis' behavior right here in this country. They had sympathizers, Nazi sympathizers, who said, well, the Nazis are doing it because of this, and don't you think it's justified because of that, and don't you think the people they're putting away deserve it? Well, you just had a caller like that two callers ago, a Muslim who called, who said, don't you think that the occupation of foreign lands has anything to do with terrorism? Now, that unto itself makes no sense whatsoever, first of all, because you're justifying killing innocent men, women, and children. But from the historical point of view, it makes no sense, because his Muslim antecedents both bombed, stabbed, and tortured their way across the Middle East and Spain, if not 1,000 years ago, then as near as 500 years ago. Not because anyone was occupying their nations, but because they were on a mission of conquest or jihad. J-I-H-A-D. That is what we are facing. They are conquering the entire world. And they're on a war path, and they're winning. And the reason they're winning is because we're not winning. If they're not winning, if we're not winning, then they're winning. It's that simple. And we need either Trump or Cruz as president to carpet bomb their capital in Raqqa and to root them out in this country. I can guarantee you, as I sit here, just follow the logic. If Cruz or Trump becomes president, and they know that there's going to be a crackdown on them both abroad and here, a goodly percentage of the terrorist rats will flee the country before that crackdown occurs. Those rats will jump ship before they're found out. They'll be on the first plane to Sandanistan before you can say Jackie Robinson. It's a very sad day, a low point in American presidential history, my listener friends. And we are asking ourselves how you would prevent the next terror attack from occurring right here on our home soil when we have impotent DHS, FBI, CIA, NSA. You name the services and they're looking at you. They're not looking at the mosques. Because, my friends, that's where the NYPD was focused before the New York Civil Liberties Union, in association with the ACLU, deballed the NYPD.
It's unrealistic to say we're going to completely shut down our borders to everyone. That would, you know, that would stop commerce, for example, and that's not in anybody's interest, but we have to do a much better job in coordination with the Europeans on tracking and following anyone who has any connection with terrorist activity or terrorism.
Well, that would be you and Barack Obama. You have connections to both. But you're not being tracked and followed. There's no one vetting you. There's no one vetting the subversive. By the way, he's on the way back. Apparently, the outcry was so great that the lazy bum was forced to leave the ball game in Havana. Can you believe this? You know, if this was another time and there was no terrorism, he'd be a joke in a mad comic book. You'd make a joke of the guy, just a caricature of it, a joke. Sits there like a dummy in the middle of this, watching a ball game, and then says, well, we don't want to let them win and upset people who are watching ball games. I'll sit and watch the ball game. Till probably one of the children who worked for him said, Mr. President, I'm sorry to bother you, but there's an outcry around the world as to where are you? No, I'll leave after the seventh inning. No, Mr. They came back probably again. Mr. President, they're screaming for you. You got to go back. You got to put on a show. No, I'll leave after the eighth inning. Apparently, though, he left before the end of the game. He's going to watch it on a satellite on Air Force One. You hear this? This is what you have for a president. And you don't know why the terrorists are acting up? Okay, my friends, Donald Trump will be on this show in the next hour. I know some of you don't get the third hour. That's a product of programming. I can't account for that. But those of you who get the third hour are very lucky, because when Mr. Trump joins us, I'm going to ask him specific questions about how to stop the next Muslim terror attack from occurring. Plain English. I'm not going to use a euphemism. Terror, terrorism, extremism. Those are euphemisms. Because as a very brilliant Muslim scholar wrote a number of years ago, it is certainly true that most Muslims are not terrorists, he wrote. But it's also certainly true that most terrorists are Muslims. He wrote it, not me. Blame him. How would you defeat them? Travis, KCMO, welcome to the program from the Midwest. How would you defeat ISIS if you were in charge?
I, I would unleash the greatest military. Well, it was the greatest military until Obama hollowed it out. But still, unleash the greatest military ever known to the face of the earth in a von Clausewitz-type total war. Just take the shackles off of these troops, these sailors, these airmen, and just
all right, fine. Okay, where would you begin? What would you have them what would you have them carpet bomb? Let's say you bring in B-52 bombers, and you do a run out of Lackland or somewhere else, and you hear the bees flying again, as I did during George Bush's day, when I'd wake up in the middle of the night and hear the roar of B-52s taking off from an airbase near me, and I felt very good about it, because I knew bad guys were going to be decimated by those bombs. I don't know how many hours it took, 15 hours for them to get there. So that, where are they going to go? What are their targets?
I say you do a Sherman's March from the sea, from Raqqa all the way to Mosul and everywhere in between, and you just, you like Ted Cruz said, you take out all their infrastructure, their sources of income, and you kill each and every last one of them down to the last man.
Okay, so you're talking about what was called the Sunni Triangle during the Iraq War, is that correct?
Yes.
Are you a former combat veteran?
No, I'm not.
All right, but you seem to know the area better than the average person. Where did you get your knowledge of the area?
I just do a lot of reading, and I'm a student of history. And you can equate a lot of what General Sherman did during the Civil War when he marched from the south all the way to Savannah. And he basically sapped the enemy's will to carry on the fight. And he took.
Yeah, but right now they're trying to sap our will through a terror campaign. Remember, terrorism is a form of limited warfare. They know they can't bring down a city. But they know they can terrorize the civilians into giving in. And so we have many liberals saying it's our fault, or if we were nicer to them. All of the justifications that you were hearing on the show and elsewhere, coming from places like Salon, Politico, ABC, CBS, Wolf Blitzer, Anderson Cooper, you name them. They're all giving justifications of why we're the reason they're doing this to us. And that's why they're winning and we're losing.
My thought is a dead man can't be a terrorist.
Okay, no one could argue with that. It's easy to say these things, but it's very hard to enact them when you have a presidency that has been insulated in a capsule by the United States press to the point where it could only function in one direction. It's been put inside a capsule, a time capsule of insane liberalism. And so that has to be dealt with. The press has to be dealt with, by the way. Yeah, you heard me. I'm in the media. You heard what I just said, didn't you? Write it down. Make the date known to yourself, the 22nd of March, 2016. Because one of Obama's heroes, Abraham Lincoln, did what had to be done to the press in order to proceed with his war. Did you know what he did? Do any of you know what Abraham Lincoln, the benevolent one, did in order to make certain that the right information got out to the American people as he invaded the South and continued on his march? You don't know? Well, look it up. You'll find out that a lot of the hogwash you're hearing about Lincoln is false. He was a militant leader and ruthless and took no prisoners, incidentally. I know he's on a penny. I know they say that he suffered from various mental disorders and we should have compassion for Honest Abe. But he was also a ruthless military commander. So we need more than just rules of engagement to be changed. We need more than a bombing campaign. We need to look at the American fellow travelers of Islamofascism in the press corps, right here in America. The press corps is the biggest problem we have. The media and the ACLU, both the legal arm, the media and the legal arms, need to be cauterized in order for us to win this war against Islamofascism, or your daughter will be wearing a burqa, and your son will be completely crippled unless this is stopped. You know, I have only said about 40 to 50% of what I really want to say on the show today. I've had a very difficult morning of reflection. From the minute I woke up and I turned the TV on and I saw the scenes of blood, faces blown off, babies crying, and then I heard the statement from the Islamofascists saying that all the people of Belgium are soldiers, which is why we attacked them. There are no innocent civilians because they're all soldiers because they're bombing our brethren in our homeland. I said, this is the kind of justification the Nazis used in their total conquest of Europe. We are facing what I called Islamofascists. I wrote it many years ago. People have changed it to other things, but they are Islamofascists. They are the new Nazis of our time, only instead of wearing a swastika, instead of marching to a German band, instead of reading Mein Kampf, they're using different music and a different book. I'll leave it in those general terms. So I woke up and I said, you know, I've got to do my job today, but I'm only one man. I'm not bulletproof. First of all, I'm not bulletproof. Let's start with that. I'm just a man with a microphone, but I know history. And I also know what is going to be done. You know, it doesn't matter whether what I say is done now, it will be done. I can guarantee you as I'm sitting here that the change is occurring as we talk. Not so much only today, but the change has been occurring since Trump appeared on the scene. There is a sleeping giant that is awakening, and the sleeping giant is the blue-collar white man. I don't know how else to put it, but I'll put it the way I know it to be. I used to call them the Eddies of the world. The Eddies who fought in World War II. The Eddies who put down their saw and was ceased to be carpenters or electricians or plumbers or farmers and went and fought Superman. It was every man who defeated Superman. Never forget it. And then when Eddie came home, he built America to the greatest country on earth in the 1950s, the greatest nation in the history of the world. And then along came William Kunstler, Allen Ginsberg, Timothy Leary, and Bella Abzug. And this group of evildoers, these left-wing drug peddlers and social peddlers, destroyed the will of America. They twisted the entire American mind. Well, you could say it started with the beatniks. I get that. Go, man, go. Well, go, man, go, huh? With the bongo drums and the beard and the sandals. Well, it's went, man, went. Those days are over. And now we have to pick up the pieces because the Eddie is still here. Eddie had children. Never forget it. And not all of Eddie's boys became girls. Not all of Eddie's boys went to Harvard. Not all of Eddie's boys went to NYU. Not all of Eddie's girls went to Columbia Law. Eddie's boys and girls are still in America. These people, these blue-collar families, are still the majority. They're still the backbone. They didn't vote in the last election, but I can guarantee you as I sit here, they're going to vote in the next one. And when this sleeping giant finally elects their leader, you're going to see a change on the globe unlike any you've ever seen in your lifetime, whether you like it or not. And you're going to hear loud outcries, bigot, racism, this, that, Hitler, Mussolini. But those voices will eventually dim. They will be reduced to the marginal characters that they've always been. They'll be put back into the boxes that they came out of. They'll be put back into the closets that they were allowed to flee from. And I can guarantee you, this world will be a safer place even for them. And that is a wonderful monologue that I just gave you. And I'm going to pause so I don't step on my own words. Back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
The United States and Cuba are like two brothers who've been estranged for many years, even as we share the same blood.
A criminal brother, you bum, you!
In a new world. Colonized by Europeans.
I can't.
Cuba, like the United States, was built.
Stop. What you're hearing now is the naked Obama being unmasking himself. He feels he's got nothing to lose. He knows he's neutered all of the intelligence agencies. He's neutered the press. He can literally take his mask off now and show himself for the communist subversive that he's always been, which I warned you about for 8 years now. I've been telling you for 8 straight years. Some of us know more than you do. Some of us see things more clearly than you do. And we try to alert you. There was a mythological figure called Lynceus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, if you read any of that stuff. And he rode a high mast on a high ship before there was radar. And he would call out when he saw a danger ahead. No one called him a bigot. No one called Lynceus a bigot for saying danger ahead. No one said, don't tell us about that boulder in the sea. Tell us about the boulder in the sea so we don't smash into it. But today everything is so perverted and so twisted that those of us who actually see the dangers have no option but to tell you about the dangers. There's no way we can change your minds because those who know will always know and those who don't will never. The Salons, the Politicos, the Jake Tappers, the Wolf Blitzers, the Anderson Coopers, the Megyn Kellys, I would even say. They are blind to the realities of the world that they live in. And all we can pray is that those of us who actually see eventually have a leader who will do what needs to be done to protect this nation from the gangsters and the criminals and the terrorists. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to say to you, this is the hardest show I've done in some ways and the easiest show. All morning I was trying to think, how do I talk to the audience about this and make sense without going overboard? How do I alert them without alarming them? And I said, it may not be possible to alert people without alarming them. But then again, you can't alarm people who are dead. You can't alarm people who are psychologically so beaten to death that they don't even know what you're talking about. You certainly can't alarm people who sympathize with the Muslim enemy, can you? How can you alarm a girl who grew up on drugs, Adderall probably, then took psychedelic drugs in junior high school? She had wacko liberal parents. She went to a good school because she was a good memorizer, so-called good school, which used to call an institution of higher learning. I changed it to institution of lower living, where she learned not how to be a productive citizen, but, well, I don't want to get vulgar. Well, you can pretty much figure out what they're teaching them. And now she thinks that anyone who raises the alarm bells about the dangers ahead is a bigot, or a this phobe, or that a phobe, or a this or that a phobe. How do you ever alert them? You don't. You forget them. You do what needs to be done despite them. And if they stand in your way, when the time comes, you do what you have to do at that time. But you don't let the insane tell you how to run the asylum. You don't let the liberals, the brain dead, the de Blasios, you certainly don't let that foaming deli man from Brooklyn to run your nation, do you? Did you hear what the foaming deli man from Brooklyn, the pickle man, said today? Did you hear what the pickle man said? The pickle man. You know who I mean, your hero. Bernie the Pickle Man Sanders, what he would do with the Islamofascism. You know, Bernie is Jewish by descent. I have to mention it because yesterday was the AIPAC meeting. Ted Cruz spoke there. Kasich spoke there. Trump gave a resounding speech. He was cheered there, despite the cries of bigotry from the phony rabbis, the Quisling rabbis, the embarrassment rabbis, the Woody Allen rabbis, the self-mocking rabbis, the self-hating rabbis. They tried their best to mock Trump, but the people cheered Trump yesterday. You know who did not appear before AIPAC? Even Hillary was there, because she's a smart enough politician to know that. Only the deli man, who was of Jewish descent, did not go there. None of the other men and women are of Jewish descent, but they all went to AIPAC. Only Bernie, the communist sympathizer, the fellow traveler, did not go to AIPAC, and he is of Jewish descent. Now you know the rest of the story. Nicolette, Line 9, KLIF, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I want to tell you that the monologue you just went and addressed to the public about the Eddies, I am one of the Eddies that you talk about. My family is. And that is the most beautiful monologue I've heard in 55 years. And I suggest you play that every day before your show, so that everyone's inspired the way I am today. I'm not kidding you. I'm so emotional and proud that I listened to your program. And it many heard you just spoke of who is important in life.
You are the backbone of America. You are the white backbone of America that has been reviled and spat upon by these so-called sophisticates from Columbia, NYU. I can name all of them. And the reason they hate Trump is because you finally found someone who represents your interests. And they're saying, no, he doesn't represent your interests. He's a rich man. He doesn't represent your interests. He's not like you. But you know better than they do that he doesn't have to be of you to represent you. You know very well that it's only the majority white working class men and women of this nation who can save this country from the toxic poisons of liberalism, which have destroyed the body politic itself.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the final hour of The Savage Nation. This is going to be the best hour of the show because we're expecting Donald Trump any second or any minute on the program to talk about the Muslim terrorist attacks in Europe and how he was somewhat prescient in saying that we must not permit any Muslims into this country until we can, quote, figure this thing out. Well, they called him every name under the sun. They called him names I don't want to repeat because they were wrong. And as I mentioned before, even liberal France has cracked down on the radical mosques, and that is a socialist liberal nation. Only in this America, which is far more to the left than you may imagine, are we sitting here like, I guess, shooting ducks, waiting to be shot out of a barrel. And we're talking about that. I was mistaken in the last hour when I said that our subversive president left the baseball game in Cuba to come home. No, he didn't. The subversive is on his way to Brazil, because apparently spring break has quite a few days left to play out for the girls. I think they're out of the $50,000 a year school at this time, and there's nothing nicer than a vacation in Cuba and South America, anywhere there's a leftist sympathizer running the country. Why, that's the place he goes to where they can assure him of a crowd. So he's on the way to Brazil. The main topic, though, is how would you prevent the next terror attack from occurring? And we've had some wonderful callers on this, and we're going to talk about that, including my ideas. Ted Cruz gave a very good speech on this today. It was quite militant. And Donald Trump did this morning as well on the Today Show. But I have a different question for Mr. Trump. Donald Trump, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Donald, we're only interested in one question, and I heard some of your Today interview today, and that is the Islamo-fascist attack in Belgium. I know that you are shown to be 100% right by this attack when you said that you wouldn't admit any more Muslims into the United States until we, quote, figure this thing out. You're 100% right, but here's the question, Donald. What would you do about the radical mosques in America? Would you agree right now on the Savage Nation that you will consider closing the radical mosques in America? Because even liberal France has been doing this since the Paris terror attacks. I have to repeat this. Liberal socialist France, even they have closed about 20 radical mosques because they decided that they want to live. Mr. Trump, what do you think should be done?
Well, we have to have tremendous surveillance, and that includes the mosques, whether we like it or don't like it. We have to be intelligent people. You see what's going on. This is worldwide. Protection is ridiculous. The one they caught last week, he knew everything that was going to happen. In fact, these bombs went off today, they say, because of him. And he knew everything that was going to happen, Michael. And frankly, people that were in his neighborhood where he grew up, they were protecting him. They knew he was there. They have pictures of him shopping in grocery stores. It is such a disgrace what's going on. And people aren't turning them into the police. They want to practice Sharia law. We have to do something, and we have to do it rapidly because the whole world is collapsing, and nobody wants to be, you know, everybody wants to be politically correct. They want to be, oh, we don't want to do this. We don't want to say anything that's wrong. In the meantime, we have planes flying into the World Trade Center, into the Pentagon. We have shootings happening in Paris. We have the toughest gun laws in the world, so everybody had a gun except for the good people. And they didn't have a gun, and they were helpless. And 300, you have many, many people injured. You had 130 people at least now that are dead, and many, many to follow them because of the tremendous injuries, Michael. And then you had the 14 people in California killed by the two people that got
absolutely in San Bernardino. But Donald, we know that this terror is coming from one place. We know it's not coming from Buddhists, it's not coming from Jews, it's not coming from Christians, it's not coming from Hindus, it's coming from one place. And we cannot condemn an entire religion, but on the other hand, we can't be blind to the fact that all terrorism is coming from the Holy Book. I'm not asking you to confirm it because they'll crucify you if you said I agree with you. You don't have to agree with me, Donald, but when you're president, we need to change things or we're not going to survive this.
We will change things. And don't forget, I'm the one that called for a temporary ban on coming in. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. You just look. I mean, these people aren't coming from Sweden or Norway or Denmark or, frankly, from China. They're not coming from, they're coming from a certain part of the world, and we have to be smart, and we cannot be politically correct. Everyone's so afraid to mention anything. They're so afraid to use the term. We have a president who won't even use the term radical Islamic terrorism. He refuses to use the term, and yet he's over in Cuba. And, you know, they don't even greet him at the airplane. And then you look at the news conference. It was the most humiliating-looking news conference I've ever seen a president have. I've never seen anything like it, where he had no control whatsoever of the news conference. He just stood there, and you saw his speech today. So, look, we have to have a president that's going to use the term and going to say it like it is. There is a massive, massive problem with radical Islam. And whether we like it or not, that's the way it is.
Donald Trump, the NYPD had the finest anti-terror unit in America until this year when the ACLU in New York City sued the NYPD and forced them to delete from their website an 80-page document on how to survey mosques, how to detect the terrorists before they struck. They made them remove that, Donald. Would profiling be part of a Trump plan to combat terror?
I would say yes, and I would say that we did, in fact, in New York City have the finest there is in the world, and many people talked about it. And this terrible mayor that we have a mayor who's incompetent. He's terrible. The terrible mayor of New York, current mayor of New York, is de Blasio, is, I mean, everybody in New York is up in arms over what's happening in the city. And on top of everything else, he totally got rid of that unit. And people involved in that unit say it caught things before they were going to happen. And they,
well, Donald, that's the point. They said in Brussels today that they were trailing under surveillance over 300 young Muslim men for a long period of time. They knew who they were, and they couldn't arrest them. Their hands were tied by the liberals. It's the same here, Donald. How many hundreds of them are being followed by the DHS, FBI, you name it, and are getting away with a potential murder right now? We don't even know, do we?
Costing our country a fortune, and we don't want it. We're so afraid to touch anybody. We're so afraid to bring anybody in. They're going to get sued. They're going to get lose their jobs, the officers that are in charge. And they know exactly what they're doing, but they're petrified of losing their pension and their jobs. They can't do anything that's a little bit stronger. Now, we play by the rules, Michael. You know, we can't waterboard anymore. I don't know if you know that, but we can't waterboard. We can't do anything. They have no rules. They can do whatever they want. They chop off heads. They drown people in cages, and yet we can't waterboard. We are playing by a different set of rules, and that's not meant for victory. You understand that. That's not meant to
Absolutely.
Win.
Absolutely. In other words, I keep hearing that it's not in the Geneva Convention to waterboard. Well, the Geneva Convention applies to countries that have signed on to the Geneva Convention, Donald. And the last I checked, ISIS did not sign on to the Geneva Convention. In fact, today, after they set off the nail bombs at the airport and the subway, one of them actually tweeted out a remark, Mr. Trump, and he said they were not civilians. That includes the babies who they butchered. They said they were all soldiers because they are part of the Belgian nation which has bombed us in Syria. How do you deal with people who have this mentality other than through the maximum force that we still have and we can still use? And I hope that when you are commander-in-chief, you do consider carpet bombing Raqqa all the way to the edge of the Sunni triangle.
Look, you've got to use maximum force. You've got to use something very strong. There's never been a situation like this. And, you know, it used to be we'd fight a war and it would be Germany or Japan or a nation, and they'd have uniforms, we'd have uniforms, you knew what the enemy was like. Here you have no idea what's happening. We're taking in thousands of people from Syria with no credentials, nobody knows who they are, nobody knows where they come from. Some are young, strong men. They could be fighters. It could be the ultimate Trojan horse. Michael, it's a disgrace. And I'll tell you what, I think it's one of the reasons, and I wish it weren't for this reason, that my poll numbers are so high. You know, I'm cracking now 53. One of the polls just came out. I'm at 53% with other people in the race, and it's unheard of. And I think one of the reasons is they know I'm not going to play games. This is crazy what we're doing. It's crazy.
Donald, you know, my last book was called Government Zero. You're too busy to have read it. It came out when your book came out, and I'm mentioning it not to plug a book. It's no longer being sold in that way. I'm mentioning it because in the book I talk about radical Islam's war against the world for the last 1,400 years. This is not a product of invasion or occupation. This is a product of the mindset of Islam itself. 1,400 years. And Donald, I've not asked you for anything, but I'd like to suggest that if you do achieve the presidency, you consider using me as part of your kitchen cabinet for a dollar a year, because I have an awful lot of knowledge that I could add to that kitchen cabinet. I can guarantee you that you'd never regret that. $1 a year is all I ask for.
No, you're common sense. I mean, it's all common sense, much of it. You look at some of these decisions that have been made. Look at Hillary Clinton with what she did. Look at the horrible decisions that she's made. And now she's running for president. She's horrible. And she's
Donald, she just said an hour ago that she wouldn't close the borders even after the Belgium attack. She came up with the same mantra that it's not the American way. Well, you know what the American way is, and that's called survival. And what we must do is do what you did. Build the wall, close the borders to radical Islamists for sure. But, Donald, what do we do about the radical mosques that are operating as we speak, teaching hate, preaching hate, sending out young soldiers into the streets to kill us? Even in liberal France, Mr. Trump, liberal France, socialist France, Hollande, he has closed down about 20 such mosques. Why are we afraid to look at the enemy in his strongholds?
Yeah, and of all places, you're right, it's true. By the way, Hillary Clinton also thinks our vets are being taken care of beautifully, and she said that, and it's a disgrace. Our vets are being treated horribly, horribly. They're being treated worse than illegal immigrants, and Hillary Clinton said they're being treated really well, and there's not a problem there. It's a disgrace.
Donald, you spoke at AIPAC yesterday, and you were received very warmly, despite the left-wing so-called rabbis who tried to castigate you in every way possible. The AIPAC itself saluted you when you were there, which is beautiful, by the way. Isn't it interesting that although the media tried to smear you as anti-Semitic, that you have a daughter who is married to a Jewish man who's having children who will be raised as Jews? How in the world did they get away with this, Donald?
Well, I think the speech yesterday went over very well. I got 12 standing ovations, and I thought the speech went over very well, and I think everyone really liked it. And I got actually excellent reviews, even from normally people that would not give great reviews. They gave me fantastic reviews. So I think from that standpoint, it was a great success. I haven't heard anything to the contrary, but it did get very, very good reviews.
Well, the big issue today is only one issue, and that's the attack in Brussels. And at the beginning of the year, again, you called Brussels, quote-unquote, a hellhole because of the influences that you saw there. What did you see in Brussels that led you to make that comment way back in January, long before today, Mr. Trump?
I saw a population that has hate, that has tremendous hate. I saw something that other people didn't see. And I hope I'm going to be rewarded for having vision, because I will do a great job as president of this country, and we're not going to stand for what's going on. Believe me, we're not going to stand for it. We're not going to be the stupid people anymore. We're not going to stand for it. And I know Brussels, and years ago I was in Brussels, and friends of mine used to go to Brussels, the most beautiful place that they've ever seen, one of the most beautiful cities. That was more than 20 years ago. Now it's a hellhole. And I said that a few months ago, and I guess somebody picked it up where I was talking about Brussels as a disaster, and I guess I'm getting a lot of credit for having vision and having foresight. You know, I also said that Osama bin Laden should be taken out. I wrote about it to a certain extent, but I talked about Osama bin Laden in my book in the year 2000 before the World Trade Center came down. You know, you have to be given credit for having a vision of things, but Brussels, I talked about that recently as being a terrible place, where the police are actually afraid to go into certain neighborhoods where it's radical Islam, and look what's happening now. Isn't it just terrible?
Well, you should take credit for that, because we need a visionary in the White House. And despite the geniuses at the New York Times and at Harvard, I think that we have a visionary in you. And I really wish you the best today. You're up today in Arizona and Utah. Where else are you in a primary?
Well, it's primarily there, and we're going to see what happens, and hopefully I'm going to do very well. And a lot of people are saying this is the only guy that's going to stop this, and it's the only guy with the vision to understand it. And when they see what I said about Brussels and what I said about Osama bin Laden, and, you know, I'm a good prognosticator. I've said a lot of things. I said, take the oil. Remember, you're leaving. Yep. We've been in Iraq, but once we were there, I said, take the oil. Well,
right.
Now Iran and ISIS have the oil. We don't have the oil. We have nothing
right.
Except debt. So a lot of people have given me credit for that, Michael. But the credit, I don't want credit. I want to get the job done.
I agree with you. Donald Trump, we wish you the best today in all of these primaries. And we hope you go all the way to the White House, because God knows we need someone who loves America there rather than someone who questions America. Thank you, Donald Trump, for being on the Savage Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Donald Trump himself. If you get a comment on his visit with you on this program, the phone number is 855-400-7282. And again, I go back to the primary question. What would you do if you were an advisor to Donald Trump? How would you stop the next radical Islamic attack here in the United States of America? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. You know, about a year ago, I published a book entitled, a novel now, called Countdown to Mecca, Michael Savage, and it did very well. But ignored, of course, by those who call Donald Trump a bigot, Mussolini and Hitler. The entire literary establishment makes believe I don't exist, but I really do exist. I exist quite well, thank you. And the novel, Countdown to Mecca, is eerily prescient with what is going on right now. And I suggest that you pick up the paperback, because sometimes fiction tells the truth more than does nonfiction. And in this book, you see a conspiracy amongst a group of military men, old line military men, to destroy Mecca during a Hajj. But the book throws a curveball at those of you who think that this book calls for such a thing. It calls for the exact opposite. As a strategist myself, when Jack, my character, stumbles upon the conspiracy amongst the military brass to destroy Mecca, he and a group of like-minded friends on the fringes of the law, including criminals like Saul Minsky, get together and they uncover who is behind the plot in the military and they try to stop them. Or they fear they will see the collapse of the world if this group of military men in America do in fact bomb Mecca during a Hajj. Michael Savage, Countdown to Mecca. I'm not who you think I am. I'm a lot more. Trump says I would close up our borders after Brussels. Trump was on the show. We'll have his MP3 up on michaelsavage.com. Back in a minute.
You know, as to waterboarding, our country's most experienced and bravest military leaders will tell you that torture is not effective. It does put our own soldiers and increasingly our own civilians.
This is the mantra, the leftist mantra. Those who can't protect us, those who are killing us, those who are empowering the Islamic State. There she is again, the Harridan who would be president. You know, torture doesn't protect us. You know, global warming is a bigger threat than Islam. You know, the disparities between income in the country is something that's not American. You know, No, I don't know. I've heard this rubbish my whole life from people like you. Now we have that moron who runs the Department of Homeland Security. This guy is beyond belief. The one who let San Bernardino happen. Here's what the Schmendrick said today. No specific credible intelligence of terror plot in U.S. What'd you expect, a special delivery letter, Johnson? Expected a letter to come over the transom telling him exactly when and where it would happen. You hear the schmucks who are running the country? No specific credible intelligence of a terror plot. That's the head of the Department of Homeland Security, a schmuck. He said, if we had a real Congress, he would have been out of the job 2 years ago. He would have been out of the job before he got it. Now, here's something interesting. Hashtag Stop Islam Trends Worldwide in wake of Brussels attacks. Really? You mean Mark Zuckerberg didn't stop that? Facebook didn't stop that yet? Hashtag Stop Islam Trends Worldwide in wake of Brussels attacks. Well, I guess old Zuckerberg is busy talking to the propaganda minister of China. Too busy, in fact, to understand that this is up on one of his enterprises. Worldwide, hashtag Stop Islam was among the most popular hashtags on Twitter as of Tuesday morning. Of course, he doesn't own Twitter, but they're all buddies. They're all friends under the blankets of insanity. Well, I don't like them saying things like this because it's not Islam itself, as you well know. It may be one of the most popular topics among Twitter users located in the U.S., U.K., and Brussels, and people understand that it's somewhat related to Islam. But let's not get carried away. And I have to remind you right now, if I haven't done it often enough, that more Muslims have died at the hands of Islamo-terrorists, Islamo-fascists, than have all other people on the universe, on the planet put together in our time. They are killing fellow Muslims who are not fanatical enough, along with the infidel. And so today when they blew off the bombs in Brussels at the airport and at the train station, the vermin, the subhumans, the Untermenschen, the subhumans at ISIS had the nerve to say, when they were challenged on why they blew up innocent men, women, and children, they said that they're all soldiers of Belgium. There are no innocent people in Belgium. So if you don't understand that they're a total war, I really pity you. Because we are in total war, but we're not on a war footing. Let me repeat in case you missed it. We are in a world war. We have been in a world war since 1994 when they bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut. See, I remember those things. Many of you don't even know what Beirut is, but they started it. I would say that was a big demarcation was then. We've been at war with them since because they declared war on us since then. And when you hear the screams of a baby whose mother's head was blown off in front of her eyes, then you'll know what needs to be done. But then again, I'm not so sure that you'll know what needs to be done. I think that this country is so drugged and so brain dead and so brainwashed, I don't think people can even fight back. I think that there's such a small number of us who even know what is going on and who the enemy is that it may be hopeless. Sometimes, I don't know. I just don't know if there's a Superman out there who could save us. I'm just not sure. But I'm asking you, if you were an advisor to Donald Trump, if he becomes president, what would you advise him to do to stop the Islamofascists before they attack again? WVFT in Florida. Sal, fire away. You're on the air.
Yeah, Michael, a couple of points. First, the strategy to defeat these people has to be all out. Can't pussyfoot around. Anything short of an annihilation is a band-aid. We are, you know, we've been dealing with this for a long time. This is, in ancient times, Saul was told to go out and kill every man, woman, and child that's a certain tribe by the prophet. He didn't do it. Came back to haunt him later on. You know, the annihilation is just the beginning. We have to deal with it that way. Otherwise,
Hold on. The annihilation of what? The annihilation of who?
The belief system. I mean, it's ridiculous.
What is the belief system based upon? It's based upon the Quran, is it not? So what are you saying? We should ban the Quran from America?
No question about it. And so...
That's it. Whoa. Okay, so you're saying that there's a religion practiced by a billion people, and their so-called holy book should be banned from America?
Listen, it's annihilation until submission. The Japanese, it happened to them during World War II. They became a friend, okay? They were very peaceful people, and they've been a very peaceful people since this happened. I'm not advocating this, but as long as they open the door and they continue to come through it at us with everything that they want to do. There's no holds barred with them. They want to punish us. They want to kill us. They want to torture us. They want to do all these things, and we're afraid to even speak about it, period, you know? Back in the day when the Italian mafia was getting strong, the federal government under Giuliani went after them hard. They bugged their social clubs, their homes, their cars, their girlfriends' apartments, you name it. They bugged everything, you know, under RICO. We have the power to do that still, too, with the mosques. If we have proof that they run these types of schemes in mosques and use them as cover under the protection of religion, then that's even more heinous. And
they are doing it. We know they're doing it because, as I said before, the liberal socialist leader of France, Hollande, has closed over 20 mosques in France where he knows they were plotting to kill and to maim people. He closed them down. While anyone who even suggested here has called every name under the sun, as has Trump been called every name under the sun. So how do you overcome the mindset of liberalism here in this country, Sal?
Well, it's hard. I mean, you know, you have, and it's Donald Trump, he said you got to meet pretty much you have to meet force with force. I mean, if they're going to come at you, you're not the aggressor in the situation. So, you know, they've come at you repeatedly. And so there's got to be a time when you say enough is enough and I'm not going to be the nice guy anymore. You know, I mean, maybe that's the only thing they know. You know,
what are we going to do when we have a subversive in the White House who is sympathetic to the Muslim causes because he is part Muslim? In fact, by patrilineal descent, he is in fact a Muslim unless there is evidence that he converted to Christianity. And I don't know of such evidence because by Muslim law, the father's religion determines the son's religion. He is by definition, by Muslim definition, He is a Muslim. Now, they say he's a Christian. It wouldn't matter to me if he was a Muslim if he disavowed ISIL, but I've never heard him do it. In fact, in a speech last year, the subversive president said, quote, ISIL is not Islamic. He then added, quote, no religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim, close quote. Well, today, ISIS said that the people that they slaughtered in Brussels are all soldiers. How does that match with what our subversive leader said just a year ago?
Listen, that's all that is flim-flam on his part. You know, that's the first step. You hit the nail right on the head. We've got to elect somebody in this country that's willing to go out and do that and protect America like it needs to be protected.
Well, I agree, and thanks for calling, Sal. We need either Trump or Cruz. I prefer Trump, but I would certainly vote for Cruz. I'll be very clear. After Cruz's hard speech today on the issue of how to defeat ISIS, and he was really tough. He said, identify the enemy, use all investigative tools, use overwhelming air power, carpet bomb them, take out their infrastructure. He said carpet bomb them in Raqqa, I believe I heard. And he said other things that are very strong today. And I admire him for being that clear. I think Trump was equally as strong. And I prefer Trump as a candidate because I think he could more easily defeat Hillary than can Cruz. But I don't want to argue with you over that. Let's see what happens at today's primaries. My guess, as a result of the bombing in Brussels, it's Trump in a landslide. That would be my guess. I don't know how people are going to vote. I don't even know if the media is covering the story the way it needs to be covered. I doubt it. I think that the left-wing fanatics in the networks and in the newspaper business are not even connecting the bombing in Brussels today to Islamofascism, and more particularly, they're not connecting it to immigration because they know if they did, they would elect Trump, so they're not doing it. Incidentally, for those of you who worship the Obamas, here's a little note for you. Michelle Obama's floral outfits cost 23 times the average annual salary in Cuba. That's by Morgan Chalfant of the Free Beacon. The two floral dresses that First Lady Michelle Obama sported in Cuba this week would not be affordable for the wide majority of individuals living in the repressive country. U.S. Weekly recently spotlighted two outfits that Michelle wore during appearances in Havana on Sunday and Monday that, according to a Free Beacon analysis, cost more than 23 times the average annual state salary in Cuba, recorded in 2014. When they landed in Cuba on Sunday, the First Lady descended Air Force One wearing a sleeveless rose print dress made by designer Carolina Herrera. Isn't that politically correct? The dress is currently sold for $2,190 at Bergdorf Goodman. Later on Monday evening, Mrs. Obama dressed in a floral knee-length dress from designer Naeem Khan, oh how PC that is, to attend the state dinner at the Palace of the Revolution in Havana, Cuba. A similar dress from Naeem Khan, a Barry Obama donor, available in the designer's pre-fall 2016 collection, costs $4,490. According to Trading Economics, a provider of historical economic data, the average monthly salary in Cuba was 584 pesos, or about $24. That's a month. You hear how good socialism works? If you love Bernie Sanders, you can look forward to a monthly salary of $24 if you love Bernie, because everything else will be free. But what do you need more than $24 for? You got a backgammon set, you got a 56 Buick, you got a free hovel to live in, you got all the cigars you can smoke, all the sugar cane you can possibly dissolve in your coffee. What more do you need than $24 a month? That represented a significant increase in the average monthly salary over the previous year, which was $20 a month. Over 12 months, therefore, the average employee's wages in Cuba totaled $288 in 2014. So there you go. The total price tag of the two dresses that the First Lady wore is more than 23 times the average annual salary in Cuba, estimated in 2014. There's no commentary possible, other than I can't wait till these two are gone from the White House for good. I can't wait for the day. But there's so many months left, and there's so much more damage he can do. And he's being so brazen about his naked Marxism, his naked sympathies, that I'm not so sure that this time will come soon enough. Well, my friends, I asked a key question today, dear listener. How would you prevent the next terror attack from occurring? Let's take some calls on that issue. Let's go to KSFO. Todd, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
You know, I just find it interesting that you'd have a candidate on your program that military leaders, current and former, are on record of saying his proposal would paint a bright red bullseye on the United States.
Todd, what are you talking about? What are you mumbling about? What military leaders? The capons that Obama has created? That the bald military leaders who wear uniforms? They're not military leaders. They're yes men.
You don't beat a hornet, a swarm of hornets, by beating on their hive, Michael. You know that.
All right, so what are you talking about? Okay, let's cut aside what you're saying. How would you defeat Islamofascism?
You do what the first part of what Ted Cruz said, and it, which is exactly the same thing Hillary Clinton is saying. You beat them on their own, you know, battlefield, which is the internet, and the past, the Brussels attack, the Paris attack, are both launched out of a very small enclave in Europe. You find out where they're coming from through the internet.
You're really not making any sense, Todd. You're saying you're going to fight bombs with the strokes of a key on a keyboard?
Weekend.
You're gonna fight bombs? Bombers who read the Quran literally? You're gonna fight them by going to a keyboard? Are you crazy?
If you're intelligent, you would. If you're an idiot and you want to elect Donald Trump, you're gonna have a Sam Bernardino.
Here we go again with the idiot. The minute you left-wing foamers are caught, you call the other man an idiot. If men like you were empowered in America in 1939, most of us would be speaking German, and the rest of us would have been lampshades, probably including your own father, Todd. Do you have any idea what you're fighting here? Do you think you can reason with those subhumans?
Saying that, Michael. And you're...
I said, do you think you can reason with the subhumans who would throw you down a well?
You don't reason with them. You're not listening.
All right, take a walk. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO.
Confident that we will defeat ISIL. That we have the most.
You are listening to the biggest moron in the history of the United States Defense Secretariat. I have never seen anything more actually absurd, and it would be laughable if it was 100 years from now and we had defeated ISIS and we were looking back as to why we were still fighting them 20 years later when they could have been defeated so easily before. You are listening to a stooge of a subversive. You're listening to a stooge handpicked by a subversive whose entire job was to advance incompetent women and others, pushing aside white males in the military. This stooge was called before so-called Congress today. The bombs had just gone off in Brussels, and this stooge Carter said that we're defeating ISIS. Listen to this. You're not going to believe it.
I'm confident that we will defeat ISIL, that we have the momentum of the campaign in Iraq and Syria. I gave you some of the details about that, we're prepared to give you much more. We're doing more. We're actually looking to do yet more than that. And I'm confident that that will result in the defeat of ISIL in Iraq and Syria. And as I said, that's necessary. It's not sufficient as the attacks in...
If I were, I'd throw this man in for prison to what he's done to the military. You have no idea how far gone the leadership is of this country. Well, you have some idea when you see the subversive at a baseball game in Havana while bombs are going off, sitting in a stadium, says they're not going to go back because one of the aims of terrorism is to upset people and change their schedules. And he sits there to watch the next inning eating a hot dog so the old lady can slurp on an ice cream cone. Wow, what a day this has been, dear listener. I've asked you how you would prevent the next terror attack. I've had Donald Trump on. And most importantly, you heard a monologue you never heard before in your life that moved many of you deeply. It was called How Eddie Will Save America. You'll hear it again tomorrow. Be sure to be here, and thank you for listening. God bless America.